from tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. This is the 2014 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, November the 29th, 2014. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on prophetic words.
If you're not on my email list, I'd sure like to put you on there. But if you can email me, nd, this is all lowercase, nd underscore Pinson at hotmail.com, and I'll put you on there. Or you can go to our website, recoveringthechurch.org, and you can sign up there. Prophetic words is what I want to speak to you about this afternoon. Lord, would you help us now? We're battling, Father. We're in the thick of the battle, Lord. We haven't run from it. We're like little David, Lord. We're running toward the giant. We're not running away. And we need every weapon, Lord, that you have for us. Speak to our hearts. Let your word penetrate our hearts. Let the anointing rest heavily. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, first I want to tell you, the Lord gave me this message when I was laying in bed sick. Well, that's an odd time to get a message when you're sick. Praise God. A lot of our messages come out of our own adversities, but I keep a journal near me because if you don't, you forget it. I promise you that. But anyway, I wrote it down, and I was faithful. There's a great need for a prophetic word from God. I know there's flakes out there saying all kinds of things. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something God gives you. Proverbs 15:23, a word spoken in due season, how good it is. A word spoken in due season, how good it is. I tell you, all it takes is a word from God to change everything. You realize that He spoke the worlds into existence. And that same God that spoke the worlds into existence can speak one word to you and change your life. There was a lady, one time she visited our church, and don't know where she lived. She came down the prayer line, and I prayed for her and gave her a word from the Lord. And two or three days later, she showed up at the church, and she said, I want you to know that was life-changing. She's standing there crying, and she's telling me that was life-changing. The Word of God will change our lives. Oh, how powerful a prophetic word is. We all need at times a prophetic word from the Lord. For such a word spoken in due season, or at the time when it's needed, that's due season, when it's needed. And let me say this, sometimes He'll speak it to you, and you don't know what in the world is that about. But put it away, like Mary pondered in her heart when Simeon, you know, prophesied over the baby Jesus. Put it in your heart, put it away somewhere, ponder it. It'll bear fruit, praise God. So just because you hear a word and you don't understand it, don't pass it off as, well, that's not God. Now, it'll bring changes into our lives. It'll bring instruction, healing, faith, comfort, exhortation, and edification. 1 Corinthians 14:3, but he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. You know, the King James, and I believe the King James is correct, the Holy Spirit's called the Comforter. And He's the God of all comfort. And every one of us in here need our hearts comforted every day. There's so much coming against us. Let's don't act like we own, you know, I'm big, strong. No, we need our hearts comforted. We might not tell a single person. And the greatest preacher you could ever hear needs his heart comforted. We need that. And one time I thought, I didn't know any better. And people come up for a prayer. They want a word from God. And I think to myself, hey, you had a word last week. That ought to do you for a while. This is what I thought. And God corrected me. He corrected me. And we it's a daily great principle. And we need comfort on a continuous basis. And I'm going to get ahead of myself here. But if you can, if God uses you to prophesy to someone else, He can use you to prophesy to yourself.
Amen.
Some people are afraid of that. But you know, either we know His voice or we don't know His voice. And when you can't find anybody to prophesy to you, then prophesy to yourself under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and write it down, praise God. I'll tell you, the greatest prophecies I've ever heard come out of my own mouth or my own heart, you know. And so, praise God. If you can believe a dream, you can believe when God speaks through your mouth. So it's very important. Paul said that the gift of prophecy is so important. He said that it was he said in chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that we're to covet earnestly the best gifts. And I just kind of feel like prophecy must be the best gift, or, you know, because actually so many of the other gifts work through the gift of prophecy. All gifts work in tandem. Not one gift doesn't stand out there by itself. But just like, you know, he sent them out in twos, his disciples, and we are to go in twos. And like Sister Carla was talking about, she didn't have anybody there with her when she's faced with that. But the gifts work that way. The prophetic word is the plan and the method that God has chosen to bring healing, deliverance, correction, instruction, wisdom, and restoration far beyond all the methods that man can offer. You check that out in the scripture. There was almost, I could probably say every time, there was a prophetic word that came first. Look at Jesus' ministry. A prophetic word come. And I'll say in a minute, prophetic words can also be signs, you know, like Moses' rod stretched out over the water. Jesus, the blind man, he spit on the ground, made mud, put it on his eyes, and he gave a prophetic word, go wash yourself. When the man obeyed, healing came. So prophetic words have so much power to them. I don't care what the devil's got to say. If I can get a word from God, that's all I need. And stand it in faith, praise God. You're going to need that. And I tell you, the days to come in this nation, we better learn how to hear from God. And we better learn His voice. My sheep know my voice. And a stranger they will not follow. Praise God. Now, man's answers are such things as counseling sessions. And behavior, mood modifying, or antidepressant prescription drugs. That's what they're going to do with you. You go there, that's what you're going to get. We used to be foster parents, my wife and I, for 15 years. And it seemed like they wanted to get every one of those kids over there to the shrinker, you know, the head shrinker, and give them medication. That's their thing. Now, what is a prophetic word? To speak a prophetic word is to speak forth by divine inspiration. Now, let me say a good definition here to help you. The word prophecy is to foretell, speak forth for God, and it is also to foretell. Foretell the future. And what's wrong with that? What's wrong with foretelling the future? He said the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. And we need that, don't we? We need the Holy Spirit to show us things to come. I appreciate that. You know, it came to me one day. The Holy Spirit could actually tell you what street to drive down.
Right.
He could tell you what aisle to walk down in the grocery store. Which thing to put your hand on and put it in your buggy and which not to. Well, that's being led by the Holy Spirit. You know, that's not just for crisis times. We have to live that way. Jesus, as my grandson said, and it's in the scripture, Jesus never said a word He didn't hear His Father say. He never did anything He didn't see His Father do. And I want to make it plain, that's not that He was in heaven before He ever came to earth and He had classes on this and the Lord showed Him things. No, it's a moment by moment, case by case, as Jesus is walking in the Spirit. Remember, He emptied Himself. He was just as dependent upon the Holy Spirit as you and I are. He said, I can do nothing of myself. And so you can't say, well, He was the Son of God. Yes, He was, but He was as dependent as we are. And thank God, if He hadn't have been, then how could we ever do the works that He did in greater works? Now, to speak a prophetic word is to speak forth by divine inspiration to declare a thing which can only be known by divine inspiration or revelation. That might scare some people when you say that. Such words come forth by the prompting and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit with the purpose to teach, to rebuke, to reprove, to instruct, to admonish, and comfort others. Thank God we need that. Now, Jesus spoke prophetic words. This is one of my favorite examples. In John, the 4th chapter, verse 16, and Jesus said to her, this is the woman at the well. First, I need to say this. The scripture says he must needs go through Jerusalem. Now, these modern translations will say something like, well, he had to go there because it's on the way. Jews went around Samaria. The Holy Spirit prompted him to go to that place. He's led by the Holy Spirit. It bothers me so much to hear people say, well, Jesus said this to get this reaction. Or Paul said that because he knew they'd understand this or that. No, they were moved by the Holy Spirit. They weren't figuring out anything for themselves. They didn't speak out of their own initiative. You know, Paul said, well, I'm writing this book to Timothy and just trying to figure out what to write. He wrote as the Holy Spirit moved. The best sermons will come if you'll just write it down as he gives it to you. Praise God. Now, he said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have rightly said, I have no husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and he whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truthfully. Now, I can tell you right now, the Lord had to know that he was connected to the Father by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say 5. What if it was 4? Isn't that what the devil's going to come with you, at you with? What if you say the wrong thing? One time I was praying for a young lady in our church, and her mother's standing beside her. And the Lord, you say he showed you or he spoke to you, you have to learn what that is. I'm sorry. I don't think you understand until that happens. But he showed me that she's doing something she shouldn't do. I said, oh my, if I say that, it's not so. I don't know, they might leave the church if I get slapped. I don't know what happened. But I obeyed God and I told her. And immediately she began to weep, just weeping and crying. That's all you got. I mean, bingo, the Holy Spirit's right on it. But it's not because you can show that you can hear from God. It's because there's going to be a change in that life if they'll let it be. Oh, praise God. There's a purpose for prophetic words, a godly purpose. Now, so he said that, and the one you have now is not your husband, and that you spoke truthfully. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. I guess so. She's never met him before. He's a Jew. Why are you talking to me? You people don't talk to us. Well, that's it right there. The woman that left, verse 20, the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men of the city, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Oh my, God's done something there, hasn't he? It's like Paul when he's knocked down the road to Damascus. It changed his life. God spoke to him, And then they went out of the city and came to him, the men. And you know the rest of the story. They asked him to come and abide with him. He went and stayed 2 days and preached to them. Now, this is one of the most powerful examples of the manifestation of the gift of prophecy in the ministry of Christ on this earth. I want to be careful of all I say here. But I don't want to have to fish around and try to get answers out of people. It'd be better if the Holy Spirit would tell you and you tell them if you're going to get anywhere with that person. That will get their attention. When God's going to want God to use you, see, again, he said that we're to covet earnestly the best gifts. And then in 14:1, he said, desire that you prophesy. Yeah. We are to desire. We have a right to do that. Don't let the devil tell you can't do that. Every one of us are to ask for this. Well, we don't need, all chiefs, no Indians. But what did Moses say? Would to God all God's people were prophets. Sure make my job easier. And it would if we were all prophesied. That's something the devil doesn't want the church doing. He wants to hide that. He wants to condemn you, keep you down. Well, you can't do that. I know what you did last night. That kind of stuff, But if you confessed it, it's under the blood of Jesus, disobey God. I tell you what, God's used me sometimes when I least deserve to be used. Amen? I least deserve it. Now, the Holy Spirit sent Jesus to the well where the woman came to draw water. It was because the Lord operated in that gift that her life was changed forever. and the lives of many in the city of Sychar because he operated in that gift. Notice what the Lord did not use to attract this woman and the whole city to hear the gospel of the kingdom of God. He didn't use music. He didn't use a drama. Now, Peter, you be this character, and John, you be that one, and we're going to practice here. We're going to come in there, and we're going to do this, you know. He didn't use a mime. You know what a mime is. I walked out of a church one night. They had a mime up there. That was the most sensuous, nasty thing I ever saw. I walked out. A clam. Ah. Well, James, you be the clown today. You've got a big nose. We'll paint it up. I'm poking fun at it. I mean to. When you got to have a clown out in front of the church to get people to come in, you got a problem.
Amen.
Our only attraction must be Christ. If you get them in any other way, you're not going to keep them unless you keep doing that stuff. I heard a preacher years ago say, trying to wean people off of hamburgers onto Christ, it won't work. We used to, I told this, we had a bus minister in Dallas. And these kids, we went by and we was trying to get kids to ride our bus. And they said, well, how does the church give gold watches? What do y'all give out? And if we couldn't top it, they wasn't going to ride our bus. And see what you are fostering there and what you're creating by the bribes when you give away bribes. Other means of entertainments, giveaways, door prizes. I tell you, when the church gets to the point where we're having to use door prizes to get people to come, and it's happening. It's happening. Advertisement, which is what most churches use today. All those things, they're using it. No, the Holy Spirit manifests in his gifts. Are they going to have a sports hero? How do you have a sports hero? That doesn't even make sense. Sports hero? Come on now. Hero? The Holy Spirit manifested his gifts through Christ, the gifts which God has set, 1 Corinthians 12:28, in the church, but which the church has neglected or rejected. Now, we must speak prophetic words. And don't let the absolute requirement of divine inspiration scare you away from being used to God and manifesting this gift. And by saying that, I'm not saying, well, go ahead and just talk out of the top of your head. I'm not saying that. Look, you know what? If you're not capable of divine inspiration, are you even saved? Come on now, are you even saved? If God's not talking to you, are you saved? How can you be? He talks to his children. I had a judge one time tell me, he looked straight at me in court, and he said, I'll have you know the devil doesn't talk to people. That's what he said. See, this person was hearing voices telling him to jump in the burning barrel. Y'all might not know what a burning barrel is, but that's where you burn the trash. And telling him to jump in the burning barrel. And he looked at me. He knew I was a Pentecostal preacher. And I thought, you dumb man, you. The devil talked to Jesus. Read your Bible. Praise God. When he ran for election next time, he didn't get elected. Don't need somebody like that up there deciding people's lives. The problem is not a lack of God speaking. Hear me. It's not a lack of God speaking. In fact, he's speaking more than we could ever imagine. The problem lies in our hearing, recognizing, and believing his voice. How many times has he spoken to you and you thought that was just you or something else? And come to find out, my God, that was God. And I wished I'd listened. Acts 27:25, wherefore sirs? I sat in our Christian school one time, and I felt an impression to go in there and see what that boy had. Now, most of the time, I believe that I'm so naive, I just trust everybody. But I'm going to get up and go see. And it's a good thing I went and looked and saw what he had. Hear God. Listen to God. He could save your life. He could save your family. Your business. Acts 27:25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. That's Paul. They were on the ship, 276. They were about to drown. He got along with God. Oh, you say, I can't hear God. Well, get along with God, you might hear him. And get along with God and shut up and be quiet and still and let him talk. Let him talk. And so he did, and God spoke to him and said, we're going to lose the ship, but everyone on the ship's going to be saved. So he went and he told them. Now, it might have been hard for him to go tell them because they didn't listen to him before when he told them, don't depart from the port. But they believed the owner of the ship, the captain, you know, the pilot of the ship, because, oh, who are you? Who are you, man? You don't know nothing. These people sail all the time. See, that's where we get in trouble, when we believe the expert, or we believe experience, or we believe education, and they should have listened to him. And you know what he said? You should have listened. I told you so. But he said, but be of good cheer. God's told me we're all going to be saved. It would do this, that. And, but the thing is, oh, I love this. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. So, it's not just that we can hear. Are we going to believe when he speaks? Are we going to believe that it's God and we'll relate it to someone that it's for? Or we'll take it for ourselves? Praise God. Now, we're instructed to covet earnestly the desire to prophesy for the good or the profit of the body of Christ, including our own profit. Our own profit. Prophetic words are manifestation of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12. And they include, or they operate with, the gifts of the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, discernment of spirits, speaking in tongues, that's other languages, and interpretation of tongues, other languages. A message in tongues, not praising in tongues. You know, it's okay if the whole church speaks in tongues. They did on the day of Pentecost. They did it in Cornelius' house, but some people don't like that. They, oh, it's got to be interpreted. Well, come on now. I grew up in this. Maybe you did. When someone stops the service with an utterance in tongues, then it needs to be interpreted. Or after that, keep quiet. No one's there to interpret. Sometimes you got to give it out and find out. Everybody shouldn't fall off their chair because it's not interpreted. Oh, they must be a sinner. They're just faking it. Or something like that. No, somebody's probably not obeying God. I know I have not obeyed God. One time I assisted a pastor, hardly ever got to preach, but the pastor was sick, and so I got to preach. Well, they're going to sing the glory down, you know. And they sang, and they sang, and they sang. And then there's a message in tongues. I'm looking at the clock and say, I won't even get to preach tonight. I would not interpret that message. And I had it. Again, message in tongues. I wouldn't interpret it. And then, oh my God, I knew I messed up. I said, Lord, if you just let me get that pulpit, I'll give it. When I stepped the pulpit again, and I gave the interpretation, had a terrible time, couldn't sleep that night. The next morning, first thing I did, went to the hospital to see the pastor. And I told him what I did. He said, Nikki, just tell God you're sorry, don't ever do it again. Best words I ever heard. He didn't say you're fired, you know, all this stuff. He was patient with me. We need to be patient with each other. When you begin to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, you're going to make mistakes. You are, because we're human, praise God. Now, hopefully it's not an outright disobedience, but we're going to make mistakes. Now, the gifts of the Holy Spirit work in tandem, never one by itself, as I said earlier. And a message in tongues is simply a prophecy in a language you don't know, and it needs to be interpreted. You understand that? Prophetic words may be delivered by those who are not even right in right standing with God. That might surprise you. Caiaphas in John 11, chapter 11, you know, the scripture says he didn't speak that of himself. God spoke through his mouth, and that was an ungodly man. He condemned Jesus to death. But he prophesied that one man should die for Israel. Didn't he? Okay. By animals. You know that one. Balaam's donkey. Visions. Handwriting on the wall. Daniel chapter 5. By dreams, such as dreams given to Joseph, Pharaoh, Pilate's wife. Too bad he didn't listen to her. The Apostle Paul. Many, many, many others. You know, the Apostle Paul wanted to go to Asia and the Holy Spirit prevented him to go. Then he's going to go somewhere else and the Holy Spirit said, no, you can't go. See, everything that looks like it's a good thing to do for God is not exactly God's will for you to do. But then God gave him a vision in the nighttime and a man from Macedonia was said, come over here and help us. Praise God. One time I tried out in a church. I was very young. My wife and I went there. We tried out a church in Macedonia, Texas. Did you know there's some Macedonia, Texas? And they asked me, well, do you have the Macedonian call? I told them, no, I don't. You just had to go there. You just have to go. Praise God. Thank God. Thank God. I said, oh, God, please, not here, not here. And I wanted to pastor a church. I had, you know what, I disobeyed God. And when you disobey God, you get to wander in the wilderness for a while. And I did. I did, a year and a half. Praise God, that's a long, another story. Now, it's here that we have to be able to recognize the difference between the stranger's voice, the shepherd's voice, Christ, and our own voice. But if you'll read that scripture, if you'll read the scripture and study the scripture, you shouldn't have any problem recognizing what he won't say and what he would say for all three of these voices. You should not have any problem. And then there's the witness of the Spirit. And once you learn the witness of the Spirit, then you're here on good, solid ground. That sometimes I ask the Lord, one morning many years ago, I was praying one morning, you know, I get up early and pray. First thing you pray. And well, now I make a cup, I put on the coffee, and then I pray. But it helps me wake up. I'm not, you know, it does. Not to drink it, but to make it. But anyway, so I was praying, and the Lord spoke to me, you're going to be preaching other places, but Peerless will be your home base. And I thought, oh, yeah. And I said, God, if that's you, you let me know. And I'll tell you, I barely got the words out, and I'm not speaking out anything audibly. I mean, if you can hear your own voice inside of you without opening your mouth, you can hear God's voice inside of you without, you know what I'm saying, without using these. And the Holy Spirit came on me and touched me. Oh, I tell you, it was awesome. And I knew it was God. I knew it was God. Praise God. I went on to try to make that happen, but you can't make happen what God tells you. I called my friends up and asked, could I come preach? I ran out of friends, and it was over with. Just go ahead and try to make it. You can't self-fulfill the prophecy, see? Praise God. Well, now, the Holy Spirit gives a thought, but we must speak it out, just as the Holy Spirit gives the utterance for speaking in tongues. But we must do the speaking, Acts 2:4. He's not going to grab your mouth and make you speak in tongues. He's not going to grab your mouth and make you speak a prophecy. I tell you what, it's almost come out of my mouth and I couldn't stop it, though. I mean, a word. However, there are many that God, now you're going to hear this part, there are many that God has no prophetic words for. We must be careful not to say what God does not say. I heard this, there was a church, they didn't have a piano, and the pastor knew there was a lady in the church that had a piano. So he gave a prophecy, the Lord wants you to give your piano. No response. Afterwards, he was talking, he said, brother, I'd give my piano, but I already gave it away. Praise God. 1 Samuel 28:6, and when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. What if one of those prophets had thought, yeah, the rest of them might not, but I want the king's favor, and I'm going to have a word for him. What if they had done that? You know, he ended up having to go to the witch of Endor to try to get a word. There are many times the Lord reveals, actually, you know what, actually Samuel had already given him a word, but he didn't want to believe it. Way back there, he said, I'm going to rend the kingdom from you. There are many times the Lord reveals a prophetic word, but it's not received or understood. Remember the parable of the seed and the sower? It fell on the wayside, and they didn't comprehend it, and the devil stole it. It's all there about that. Because it didn't come on the terms the receiver expected or required. See, God may send someone to speak to you that you don't approve of. Or you don't approve of their lifestyle. Or in the context of their preconceived ideas or opinions. Haven't you had people call you, what do you think about this? They're looking for someone to agree with you. You really get that as a pastor. They're running around here, there, this church, that church, looking for a pastor that will agree with what they're going to do. And don't betray God. Don't misrepresent God in those cases. Of course, it's on their terms and their opinions. That's what's destroying them in the first place. But they want it on that. We must not attempt to manufacture prophetic words to speak, for we're only the delivery person, not the originator of the words to speak. You know, it's hard. You're standing in front of someone and they're looking at you. One time a lady said, well, I came up here because I want a word from God, but I didn't have a word from God for her. What am I going to do? Am I going to fake it? Am I going to lie to her? You can't do that. I mean, we're just delivering this. And we get serious trouble by misrepresenting God. The doctor, the lawyer, the plumber, so many more might inject their own opinions and make decisions about how to do their work. But those that deliver a prophetic word must not alter the word or decide to whom, how, where, or when to deliver that word. It's not our choice. Ezekiel 1:3 says, "The word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar. And the hand of the Lord was there on him." It's like John, when he's on the Isle of Patmos, he said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." And from that came the book of Revelation. Oh, the revelation of Christ, it's called. People want to say it's the revelation of things to come, and it, there's in that, but it's the revelation of Christ. Ezekiel was among the children of Israel, languishing in captivity in Babylon. Now, such adversity might hinder some from giving or hearing a prophetic word from the Lord, especially if they're caught up in sorrow, bitterness, you know, just hang our harp on them, will them? Bitterness, complaining, negativity. But is it just such a situation, due season, when a word from God is needed? I had a friend I grew up with, and he and his wife hadn't had any children. They weren't successful and been married a long time. And a lady came to him in their church and prophesied and said, "This time next year, you know, you're going to have a child or be pregnant." I don't know which it was. And it went on and on and on, and still nothing. And she came to him and she said, "I want to apologize. I thought I heard from God." I said, "Don't worry. We just found out she's pregnant. Praise God. You're going to be tested on it. And that scares some people. They just rather not do it at all." I'll tell you what. We have to do it. We have to do it. This is not about me and you and how we feel about things. It's what God calls you to do. We see the prophetic words come forth because the anointing of the Holy Spirit is upon a person. Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." This is Christ reading about himself and from prophecy Isaiah. "Because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor," that's prophetic words. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recover the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. But only by the power of the Holy Spirit, his hands upon me." Listen, if you're going to minister in deliverance, make sure the hand of God's on you, or you'll cause more confusion and hurt. "The Holy Spirit was upon Jesus, anointing him to speak prophetic words, and brought forth healing, deliverance, recovery, and liberty to those in need. Jesus said that we're to do the same works and greater works than he did. Therefore, we must humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God so that we too can be anointed and speak forth prophetic words." There's more to life than you going to your job and making a living, coming home and plopping down in front of the TV, eating your TV dinner or whatever. There's more to life than that. If we speak out of our own mind, our ego, our sympathy, our pity, our bitterness, our vengeance, etc., then we frustrate the grace of God and falsely represent God. In John 5:19, Then answered Jesus and said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things whatsoever he does, these also does the Son likewise." You know what? That's a description of a saved person. That's what that is. That's what it means to be saved. Do what he does and nothing else. I can of my own self do nothing. I don't know what you think being saved is, but being saved is doing what he tells you to do and nothing else. Amen. What do we think we can do of ourselves? We must know that it's nothing. Zero. Nada. It's nothing. You know, Jesus' brothers came to him and said, "Hey, the feast is coming up. You need to go to Jerusalem and show off." You know, basically that's what they're saying. Show your power. You know what he told him? He said, "You can go anytime you want to go, but I can't." That's got to be our story. The world can do whatever it wants to do, but we can't. And finally, he went up to Jerusalem as the Holy Spirit led him up to Jerusalem. Praise God. You know, God's got timing. There's also timing involved. The Lord was not saying, as he heard the facts of the case. Now, let me read John 5:30. "I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. He's not saying that as he heard the facts of the case by those involved, let the witnesses come and tell their story. He said, and as I hear, I just, that's not what he's saying. But rather, he listened as the Holy Spirit revealed to him how to judge. What would it be like in this country if we had judges that didn't pay a whole lot of attention to the witnesses but listened to what God said? What would that be like? You know, there was that kind of a judges in the Old Testament. There was. Now it's money under the table or things like we heard this morning. Square deal, you know. That's what it is now. Praise God. All pray for godly judges. They can hear from God because I said this one. In fact, I told a judge after there's a lady there in our county. And I was there as a witness, and after it was over, I just felt really impressed to go up there and talk to her. And it was a child custody case. And I did because the Lord impressed me to. And I was talking to her. And she said, you know, I don't even be a judge anymore. She said, having to decide these kind of things, lives. Decide these things. She said, it's so hard. And I told her, I said, you know, I believe there's more lies told in this courthouse than there is anywhere else in this county on a given day. It's the truth. They lay their hand on that Bible and lie like a dog. They do. Whatever it takes to get what they know, fear of God. Well, anyway, that's a little side, but he listened as the Holy Spirit told him how to judge. Therefore, his decisions were just and were according to the will of God. John 6:38, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Of course, if he hasn't sent you, you can't do his will. But the Lord said, even as my Father sent me, so have I sent you. We've got a work to do. We've got a mission before us. We must not comfort and abate those that God has a controversy with by giving them false words of comfort and prosperity. You know, wicked King Ahab had 400 prophets that prophesied success for him. When he made a helmet or whatever, horns of iron, to demonstrate how Ahab would push the Syrians until he had consumed them. Of course, they were all false prophets, all 400 of them. And the only prophet that spoke truth, Ahab, shut up in prison. And by the way, the Syrians killed Ahab that day in battle. 2 Chronicles 19:2, and Jehu, the son of Benaiah, the seer, means prophet, went out to meet, this is Jehoshaphat, coming back from up there, where he almost died. That is so interesting. Ahab says, now Jehoshaphat, you put on your king's robes, and I'm going to disguise myself. Is Jehoshaphat that stupid? Don't you smell something there, man? But he almost died. He cried out to God. You know, the Lord even said sometimes the children of the world are smarter than the children of God. Should you help the ungodly? Should you help the ungodly? That's Ahab, king of Israel. And love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon you from before the Lord. Don't be helping people with prophetic words that God's not helping. That are enemies of God. Now what I just said there is you're going to have discernment. There are times we speak to the ungodly, because God intends to save them. Okay? There are people that God does hate. Did you know that? There's people that God hates. And if we help them and love them, then we've joined in with them in their rebellion against God. Now I want to talk about how to handle prophetic words. How can we know the words of God to speak in due season? To whom, how, where, and when to deliver them? You don't always go tell it right then. John 8:28, then said Jesus to them, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I'm he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. Now again, this teaching was while he was on earth, as the Holy Spirit spoke to him, related the words of the Father to him. That's how that works. So that's how it was happening. Now, case by case. And so it'll be with us. Christ's connection to his Father was via the Holy Spirit, and so must ours be. Not from your education and training, but as the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Now, who can know the mind of man or of God? 1 Corinthians 2:11 says, All prophetic words must come by the gifts of the Holy Spirit, so that it is by the mind of the Spirit and not by our own mind. Let us never do what Jesus didn't do and act on our own volition, and therefore or thereby usurp God's authority. Let us not put ourselves in God's place. In addition to spiritual, mental, emotional healing, prophetic words can heal, restore, strengthen any and all systems of our body, skeletal, muscular, nervous, respiratory, and the vascular systems. A prophetic word can heal any of those, all of them. In Acts 3:6, then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I not, but such as I have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Do you recognize that as a prophetic word? Do you see that? The organized church has plenty of gold and silver, but totally lacks the ability to speak a prophetic word in due season. You could sit in some churches from the time you're infant till you died 8 years old, never hear a prophetic word. Verse 7, and Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Three things made that man walk who had never walked before. Faith in the name of Jesus, a prophetic word spoken in the name of Jesus, and the laying on of hands in the name of Jesus when he took him by the hand. Those three things. It's all scriptural. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with him in the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. When prophetic words bring deliverance and healing to a person, you don't have to have cheerleaders in the church attempting to get a response out of the congregation. The whole group, the whole congregation ran together and were holding on to Peter and John. Nobody had to do any of those things to get them there. I want to mention this. The man had never walked. After this happens, he doesn't have to go to classes to learn how to walk. Such a complete miracle that he doesn't have to be taught how to walk. Praise God. When prophetic words bring deliverance, you don't have to have cheerleaders. And that's all most of those praise and worship leaders are. Cheerleaders, entertainers, and performers. I'll tell you what, I went to a big meeting, and there's a guy up there with a guitar. Just like that. I thought, oh my God. Elvis Presley's resurrected right there on that platform. I'm sorry, but I just had to do that. That's all it is, just a bunch of cheerleading and entertaining. Don't go to a place like that. I was telling Brother Merrill before the service, I went to a meeting. And you walk in, it looked like a sports bar. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, I was doing a wedding. A foster son of mine flew me out to Florida to do his wedding. And the people were kind of, you know, they weren't saved people. Anyway, so they had the dinner, you know, the rehearsal dinner in the sports bar. And so that's kind of what one looks like. But it looked really, it could have passed for the same place. A black ceiling, dark lights, colored lights, strobe lights. The platform up there looked like it was all aluminum, like a rock concert platform that's set up, you know. And then a little while, they was getting with it, man. I mean, they were rocking the building, and a little while smoke starts coming out from the back. I said, oh my God, strange fire right here. Yeah. And it is. It is strange fire. And those crazy people that can't read their Bible and see that. You know, two sons of Aaron dropped dead because they did that. But they're going to go get a smoke machine, fog machine, whatever you call them. I was in a church in Mexico and they did that. All of a sudden, it is right near us there. And I got so choked up, I had to go outside so I could breathe. After I found my way out, because it's so dark in there.
Yeah.
Praise God. I'll try to stay here. Now, hallelujah. Prophetic words can also confuse, confound, destroy, produce blindness and death in those who oppose the kingdom of God. As we heard, you know, Peter said, hey, is this what you sold this property for? And he said, oh yeah. He said, well, the men that carried your husband out there waiting to carry you out. That's prophetic words. And she dropped dead. Prophetic words can be also expressed in such things as Moses' rod that he stretched out over the Red Sea. Read the book of Ezekiel and see what some strange forms the prophetic words took there. The fire of God falling from heaven, or a rock producing millions of gallons of water every day. In Exodus 14:13-14, and Moses said to the people, "Fear you not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." Now listen to this. "And he will show you today, which he will show you today, for the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever." Oh, it's so good when God speaks that to you. This trouble you're having, it's fixing to be over with. "The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Speak." Speak. That's a prophetic word, by the way. "Speak to the children of Israel, that they go forth. Lift up your rod, stretch out your hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground until through the middle of the sea." Oh my. Okay. I don't have a lot of choice. See if it happens, you know. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Isn't that what we do, though? We cry. Oh, we lose our peace. We cry out to the Lord. That's what Moses is doing. And when we should be speaking a Holy Spirit-given prophetic word to the situation or the person. But we cannot speak what we do not hear. It's imperative that we repent and ask God to open our spiritual ear. For it's a matter of life and death. And it certainly was for them. Mark 11:23, "For truly I say to you that whatsoever you shall say to this mountain, be you removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said." I know there's a time to pray. I'm going to tell you what, most of your prayer, as I said earlier, should be being quiet and listening to what God's got to say. He already knows your prayer list. I went one time to a convention with another pastor, and every night I had to listen to that. I mean, he read it. I could almost have done it for him after a while. All his list, he went down, naming all this. I'm sorry, but I want God, are you listening to that man? Most of your prayer should be still and quiet and hear what he has to say. Let his presence come. Let his presence come and certify you. Certify. His presence will certify you. Praise God. But it's speaking. We need to do more speaking and less begging and crying out when we know we have the mind of Christ. I'm not saying name and claim it. You know, that came through a long time ago. And I just speak a Cadillac in my driveway, whatever. And people really were doing that. Brother Clinton said, "I'll tell you how to get a Cadillac, get a job and buy one. Pay for it." Praise God. But speaking to things. I think you heard me tell this, but a guy asked me to help him load a cow up. She wouldn't take the calf, wouldn't let the calf nurse. And you know, it's not going to live with so many hours or days. So he had the most elaborate corral I ever saw. I mean, literally. There's no way that cow could have jumped over, out. For 1 hour we stood there. And the chute was, oh man, this is smart. Start out real big and so the cow, you know, wouldn't know. And turns around, gets smaller and smaller until it goes into the trailer. And we just tried and tried. He had promised me he'd give me the calf if I could help him load the cow. He's going to take it and sell it. He had the calf in the trailer. And by, I don't know, it came to me, and I pointed my finger at that cow. You believe this or not? I said, "In the name of Jesus, you get down that chute." And that cow turned around and went down that chute. Got in there, and the only thing is, the calf started nursing, and he changed his mind. Hey, this is a man that herded his cows with a shotgun, that sued me over a Bible, a lot of the things I could tell you. But anyway, it was a great lesson. I'm glad. Now, I've tried it since then. It didn't work. You know why it didn't work? Because God didn't give me those words to say. You can't just manufacture something and, you know, it's got to be because the Holy Spirit gives it to you. But he's got, as I said earlier, he's got a lot of things to say. Maybe he don't want you loading that cow or whatever it is that you're speaking to. It's because it's bothering you. It's a thorn in your side. You know, Paul tried that. God said, no. The nine gifts of the Holy Spirit are distributed as the Holy Spirit wills, which is on a case-by-case or daily bread principle or basis. Now, those claiming to operate the gifts cannot be loose cannons, just spewing out whatever they wish. We're not to speak to anyone or to any situation a message the Holy Spirit did not give to us. Let me say this. And most times, when God's going to use you to prophesy, He'll give you a word or a little thought. You have to be obedient, open your mouth, and speak that. It's the same way when interpreting the message in tongues. He's not going to give you the whole interpretation. First thing, you probably couldn't remember it. But He's going to give you something to start with, and you open your mouth and say that, and He'll give you the rest of it. And when He quits giving it to you, shut up. Don't say anymore. Praise God. Oh, and people will be blessed and helped. You know something God does for me that I appreciate? The devil's always there to tell you it's just you. You know what I'm saying? He's always there. He's always messing with you. I know He did it with Christ. I know He did. In fact, at one place it says that the Lord knew He'd come from the Father. I mean, He had to know that. He had to have faith, just like you and I have to have faith. But we have to know that it's Him speaking. And then when we hear, we speak out whatever He's given us. The devil's right there to mess with you about it. But you obey God and you speak. But what helps me is when it's through, I've asked the Lord for this. Oh, the Spirit of God will come on me. Woo, glory to God. And I know it's the Lord. I need to know too. You know what I'm saying? Because you're telling somebody some wonderful thing that God gave you. And they're so excited. And the devil's going, whoa, what if it don't happen? Lord, you know, and He gives you the confirmation in you. I believe that everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. I believe that. Don't do anything unless you get those other confirmations. We have a little store our church owns. You ever heard of a church owning a store? Well, I didn't either. And I was coming back from Mexico in 2006, and I heard this, I felt this, open a store, and I thought, that's the dumbest idea I ever had. I'm not even going to tell anybody. But you know it won't go away. It wouldn't go away. And so I started praying about it. And we were having our church exterminated, and I was following the exterminator around. Never met him before in my life. I don't know if he'd ever been to Peerless before. He's asking me about Peerless. He turns around and says, you ought to open a store here. I said, oh, man, you know that? Praise God. And then we were working on the building where it's at, and these Hispanic guys that were putting a roof on down the road, they come in, they thought it was a store. I don't know why they thought that. And he threw his hands up, and he said, no store! But praise God, and we have one. The only problem is it's never paid for itself. God told me, open a store, and it'll be a blessing. I said, I saw dollar bill signs. You know, it'll be a blessing. You know what? I have prayed for people in that store. God bless them right there. I mean, have a hallelujah Pentecostal whatever right there in the store. Or weep and cry or whatever. But people are coming from the community and they'll turn around and they'll walk and say, this store is such a blessing. And I think to myself, I wish it was a blessing financially. You know? But you just praise God. Give that to God. You may never understand why He tells you to do something. Well, praise God. Now, we praise God, where was I? We can't be loose cannons. Now, prophetic words are truth. Now, this is important. What are prophetic words? They're truth. And the truth will make us free in all areas of our life. John 8:31, Jesus said to the Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then you are My disciples indeed. Just attend church and hear God's word does not make us His disciples. But we must abide in His word, which means to live in His word, obey His word, and then we're becoming His disciples indeed. Now we're in a place to be set free. Can you really get deliverance if you're not obeying God? Can you? I mean, let's do the right thing. He said, if you abide in My words, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And then verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, truth is not facts. Not when it talks about it in the Scripture. It's saving knowledge given by God. Saving truth, according to Scripture, is saving knowledge. Just like when the Scripture talks about life, it's not talking about this breathing thing. Okay? And when it talks about death, it's not talking about you literally dying, but it's talking about dying to things, to yourself, okay? We have to understand the terminology of the Scripture. So truth is same in knowledge. If anything or any word does not lead to salvation in Christ, then it's not truth, no matter how factual it appears to be. All things are either of the narrow way that leads to life, or they're of the broad way that leads to destruction, for nothing and no one is neutral. All things are either of the truth that saves, or they're of the lie that destroys. All things are, there are no gray areas. Our thoughts, our words, our actions either please God or they don't please God. Nothing in between. And that really bothers some people. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, there are idle words, there's foolish talking and jesting, and then there are prophetic words that bring forth life. Prophetic words, and Christ is the Word, will set us free indeed from any and all bondages. John 6:63, it's the Spirit that makes alive. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Counselors, medications, 12-step programs, recovery programs, are incarceration, are of the flesh, and they profit nothing. And I know that's true. Putting somebody in prison. They cannot set people free. No, no, only Jesus Christ can make a person free. There are two men now that have worked for us on the Shiloh house that we're building in the past year. And they've been through all those cures. I know these men. And sadly, they both repeated their addictions and returned to jail numerous times. One of them's in jail right now. He wasn't out very long, but he's going to their recovery program. You know what? They were both attempting to set themselves free on their own terms. And it's not, and it will not be successful. Prophetic words are words of prophecy calling into being what is not yet and bringing things that are nothing. Things that are to nothing. Let me say something about those guys. They didn't want to hear a word. They didn't want to hear a word. And one of them particularly was so busy spewing out his words, you couldn't have spoken a word to him. Romans 4:17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead, and calls those things which are not as though they were, calls into existence of things that do not exist. Let me tell you, when you hear a word of prophecy, or God speaks to you personally a word of prophecy, don't throw it, pass it off because you cannot see how it would ever happen. Well, I just don't see that. You're saying that? No, that's not me. There's a pastor I used to preach for, and he didn't like prophesying. And he said, if anybody comes to my church and starts that, I'm going to go right along beside them, and I'm going to judge what they're saying. And he'd say, oh, I know that person. That's not so. What he didn't understand is God calls things that are not as though they were. Thank God he does. And he's going to do it for you. And he'll tell you things just like me sitting there that morning. He says, you're going to preach other places. Oh, I don't know how. He calls things that are not as though they were. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 1:28, things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. You know what? Here I am preaching, and I'm not imperious. God does keep his word. God does say what he said he'd do. Jesus spoke. He sent truth or prophetic God-given words from the Holy Spirit. He turned water into wine. He set a woman free that had been bound by the devil for 18 long years. He raised the dead. He cleansed lepers. He opened blind eyes and deaf ears. He made people that never walked to walk. He calmed life-threatening storms. He multiplied a few biscuits and fish to provide food for thousands to eat and be filled. All by a prophetic word. In Hebrews 11, we read that God's people subdued kingdoms by prophetic word of truth. Abraham spoke a prophetic word of truth to his son Isaac. When Isaac asked his father, they're going up Mount Moriah. And he says, Father, here's the wood, here's the fire, where's the sacrifice? Abraham answered, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. That's a prophetic word. He also spoke one to the servant. He said, we'll come back. We'll come back. Now later, a ram appeared caught in the bushes that fulfilled Abraham's prophetic word of truth. I love that. When you believe God and you see it happen, praise God. Moses spoke a prophetic word of truth which produced terrible lightnings and thunders at the Mount of God. Of course, they didn't like it. And they said, Moses, tell God, don't ever do that again. Tell him to talk to you. You come tell us. We don't, you know why they did that. Because people don't want to come to the light. Because their deeds are dark. Those people were committing all kinds of sin. If you think that's a saved bunch of people came out of Egypt, it wasn't. There's some bad people. So bad, God had to have them all die off before he could take their kids in. But you know, people don't want to come. I know one time I went to a friend's church and they was up there prophesying. I stayed as far back as I could because I was afraid I'd go up there and they'd tell what I was doing, you know. And people want to stay away from that. They said, you tell God, talk to you. We don't want him talking to us. Joshua spoke a prophetic word of truth and held the sun still for 12 hours. Elijah spoke a prophetic word of truth that it would not rain. It did not rain for 3 years. Elijah spoke prophetic words of truth and brought down fire from heaven that licked up the water, the stones, the wood, and the sacrifice. Elijah spoke a prophetic word of truth and blinded an entire army that had come to capture him. Elisha said, hear the word of the Lord. Tomorrow about this time, food shall be cheap and in abundance. And so it was. But you know, this one man didn't believe it. Elisha spoke a prophetic word of truth to dig ditches. And God filled those ditches with water for 3 kings and their armies. Obedience to prophetic words spoken by Elisha cleansed the leper that dipped 7 times in the Jordan River. But then just a little while later, he spoke prophetic words to his servant Gehazi. And that leprosy of Naaman came on him. Oh, praise God. This is the way it's supposed to be. This is the word. It's all the way through your Bible. Are we cessationists? Do we believe all this has ceased? Isaiah sent a prophetic word of truth to Hezekiah, declaring that their enemy would not shoot an arrow over the wall or come to the city, and so they didn't do it. He spoke a prophetic word of truth to Hezekiah, turned the sun backward. A prophetic word of truth. By Isaiah dispatched one angel to destroy an enemy army of 185,000 men outside the walls of Jerusalem. Let me tell you, angels are not fat little naked babies floating around the air with bows and arrows. They're not honky-tonk angels either. Can I get a drink of water, please? Thank you. I was going to anyway. But praise God, praise God. Now, prophetic words, hear this, of truth are the vehicles of God's power and his will being expressed. That's what they are. Oh, how the devil wants to keep us away from that. The source of such prophetic words must be by the Holy Spirit, or those words are not the words of truth that accomplishes and creates the will of God. Otherwise, if they're not from God, they'll create all kinds of havoc, all kinds of problems. Praise God. Now, by faith, Moses spoke a shade by day and light at night to the children of Israel in the wilderness. These visible expressions of truth, the cloud, the pillar of fire, led the children of Israel on their journey through that great wilderness of life. But they were prophetic words in a visual form. By faith, you see, because sometimes the word of God will come in a visual form. By faith, he spoke bread or manna. Meat, millions of gallons of water in existence when there was none. We're blessed and we're encouraged by such provisions we hear of old. But God has never stopped creating new provisions of victory when he can find someone to stand in the gap before him and speak his prophetic words. How life could be so different if we do this, if we let God work through us like this. The Lord's looking for an obedient voice to cry out a life-changing prophetic word of truth and faith. By our obedience and faith, send out his prophetic word to accomplish what they're sent for, and they will not return void because of unbelief. Prophetic words defeat the work of the devil. You know, he came to steal, kill, and destroy. If the church would do what it's supposed to do, then we'd speak forth God's prophetic words of truth, which are spirit and in life. And life. Oh, but that's not what you see going on. Motivational messages or speeches. All this junk going on in the house of God. A den of thieves. What we have today is too much busy work, not enough prophetic words. We have entertainment, motivational speeches in place of prophetic speaking and truth. And the result is a temporary touching of the emotions, but not the life-changing freedom that prophetic words of truth will always produce if those words are received with faith and obedience. When Jesus told that blind man to go wash in the pool of Siloam, his obedience to those prophetic words of truth opened his eyes. When the 10 lepers received the prophetic words of truth from Jesus to go show themselves to the priest, they went out in faith, obeying his prophetic word, and the result was life-changing for them. Do what God tells you to do. I know if I was after your money, I'd be saying that when God tells you to put that in the offering, you put it in the offering, you're going to get blessed. I know that. And God does do that. The devil, the stranger's voice, speaks lies constantly that produce death and destruction. But where it is, our speaking forth prophetic words of life-changing truth that counters what the devil said and produces life and life more abundant. Where are those words? We've been commissioned to destroy the works of the devil with prophetic words. How is she going to do it? How is she planning on doing to destroy the works of the devil? Let's do it like the Lord did and his servants in the scriptures did. Praise God. Only prophetic words are commissioned in heaven to bind and loose things on earth. You know, he said, I'll give the keys to the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. How are you going to do that? The key is to speak. Speak. Speak out in faith those prophetic words, and they'll bind and loose whatever. Our weapons are not carnal, but they must be prophetic words of truth spoken by holy people who are led by the Holy Spirit. We must counter the devil's every move. Every move. Our bodies are the temple, or the dwelling place, the home of the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you, does he dwell in an unclean, diseased, sick, ravished, impoverished temple? Is that what he dwells in? Well, he does if we allow it to be so. If we allow it, by not taking authority over the works of the devil by prophetic speaking of truth. Go to God about your situation and see if he has some words for you to speak. And what is truth concerning our situation and the situations of others? Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. That's the truth about your sickness.
Amen.
Praise God. But we just accept the devil's lies. It's the truth concerning our spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical health, and our finances. But the devil suggests that what he's suggesting and doing is a lie. But when we speak out a prophetic word of truth from the words of God, the devil's lie is countered. It's made null and of no effect. You know, I told you I got this while I was laying in bed sick. There's a virus going around. I can't stand the bomb. Anything but bomb. And I laid there for 1 hour. This is right here. For 1 hour, I said, I'll bind you, devil, in the name of Jesus. I spoke prophetic words, and I never did vomit. I did sit on the porcelain throne, but I did not vomit, praise God. Yeah. We went to Mexico right after that. We'd have got there a lot faster, man, that stopped so many times. But praise God, I didn't vomit. And you know, the worst part of it only lasted 1 hour. I was not, listen, I'm not no hero. I'm not a hero. But I was not going to put up with that. Why are we putting up with all this stuff?
Amen.
Praise God, we have a right to speak what God says.
Amen.
Hallelujah, and see victory come. Your kids, your family, your finances, your job. You going to let all that go on? It's like I told you Thursday night, that commercial, how long are you going to put up with that crack in the wall? You know?
Yeah.
Do something about it, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, we must not allow the devil free course, but by the words of God, we counter his every move. You know what most of us do? I got to make an appointment with the doctor.
Yeah.
Jesus answered the devil, it's written, and so must we. As prophetic words are believed and lived out or obeyed, those words will bind, they'll loose, and therefore set free from all mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, and financial bondages. The Holy Spirit will provide life-changing prophetic words for each situation that we're to obey and speak out in faith into those situations. I know it will. God wants to. Often those prophetic words will be in tongues or in languages we don't know, we don't understand, or in groanings which we cannot utter. Praise God. The devil will try to bring things in that will kill, steal, and destroy. He's probably working on something back at home right now. But we're to submit ourselves to God instead of to fear. You know, God has blessed me in the last year. Here's what the devil says. Well, it's not going to last. That's what he says.
Yeah.
And I know what? God gave me this. I said, no, it's the will of God that it be this way. And so far, it shuts him up. He'll come back the next day, but you know, then it shuts him up. Praise God. Listen, in case you didn't know, the devil only left Jesus for a season. He came right back. Some people actually think he's only tempted those, you know, right, those three temptations. Hallelujah. The devil tried to bring in things to kill, steal, and destroy. Don't let fear get a hold of you. Pray about it. Be anxious for nothing, the scripture says. As we resist the devil and his minions, with the Holy Spirit giving prophetic words of truth, he has to flee. And tell him so. We're to remind the devil with prophetic words of truth that he has no right or authority to be there doing what he's doing. This is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Get out in the name of Jesus. Unless we're giving him right and authority by unbelief, disobedience, and by our weights and sins that so easily beset us. Now we must be militant. And I'm getting close to the end. We must be militant. We must not make excuses for anything. Just because it's happening to someone else, you know, hey, so-and-so had that and they died. Or someone else is doing it, does not make the devil's lies truth. He's a liar, folks. He cannot speak without lying. So whatever he says, just know it's the opposite. To focus on what someone else's situation is does not produce victory to overcome. If the whole world may go that way, it doesn't mean I have to. We're called to victory over all the works of our adversary. I know there's a case. Paul ran into that. And the Lord said, no, but my grace is sufficient. But folks, that's not every case. Is it only simple practices that we must overcome to gain a crown of life? Now listen. No. Sins of the devil, but so are sicknesses, diseases, illnesses, poverty, oppressions, all manner of harassments and bondages. Now you may be doing something that's causing your illness. Ask God for some wisdom. If you're drinking too much coffee, or you're eating too much, or you're doing this or that, you know, I don't think a prophetic word's going to overcome gluttony. The effects of gluttony, you understand what I'm saying? Or whatever it is. We must be on the right standing with God, obedient. Whatever this thing is. Now, it's the devil's plan to bring things in to see if we'll agree with them and receive them. Now, brother's talking about not agreeing with those things. But it's his plan to see if we'll agree. Here it is. You like this? You want to take this? And we think we have to. No, we don't have to. We must not. Just as the blessings of God must be received, so the curses of the devil must be agreed to and received, even if by the default of silence. Will we receive them? Will we own them? Will we obey them? Will we let them remain, cohabitate with them, and suffer because of them? You know, one time we were in Mexico, and they took us to a lady and said, won't you come pray for us? She had a broken leg. You understand Mexico's not like the healthcare system, a little different from here. Very different. And here she is a long time, and you can see that bone in her leg, you know, where not poking through, but right there. And nothing for her. And, you know, our town, Sulphur Springs, 15,000 people. We have a bigger hospital than Nuevo Laredo has with over 500,000 people. That just gives you an idea. So we went in there, and one whole wall is covered with shrines and, you know, candles and all that kind of stuff. And through the interpreter, we asked, can we pray for her? She said, no. I'm trusting in these. I just feel like I need to tell you that. But she was cohabitating with it. We must be able to recognize things for what they really are, and then by faith we must resist them in the name of Jesus with prophetic words of truth. It's our place, our responsibility to refuse him. And if they're already dwelling in us, or in a situation, if they're already there, we let them in. It's our responsibility to dislodge them out. Dislodge them and boot them out. Let me ask you something. Was Jesus sick? They got tired. He got hungry. Never a record of him being sick. And you'll do the same works that I do and greater works than these shall you do. And remember, he emptied himself. And everything he did was by the power of the Holy Spirit. We must not just hope for and pray for a better outcome as Moses did at the Red Sea, but we must speak anointed words of prophetic truth. We must confront and defeat our adversary, which goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Are we called to complain? Or are we called to declare God's truth and his will about every person and situation? We cannot allow weights and besetting sins in our life if we want to have victory over the works of the devil. Are those weights and besetting sins that God's talking to someone right here, are they really worth what they're costing us? God's dealt with you about them and you won't do anything about it, but you come running to a deliverance camp and want somebody to bring deliverance to you, but you won't deal with that. No, that's not God's way. Repent. Repent. God brings things to your memory or your thoughts, somebody you haven't forgiven or whatever. Deal with that. He said, if you go to the altar and you remember your brother has all against you, leave the gift, go make things right. And then come back. Praise God. We cannot run the race that is set before us if we continue to allow our strength, which is truth, to be compromised by sins of lust, pride. And these words I read to you, exactly the ones the Lord wanted me to read. Lust, pride, jealousy, unforgiveness, disobedience, impatience, doubt, and fear. Cannot. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. See, did you know we're not just to take every blow the devil sends our way and everything? We're to do something about it. Praise God. Do something about it. Are you doing something about it? I just couldn't help it. Well, the devil did this and the devil did that. So what? What are you doing? Oh, God, I'm not trying to be, you know, hard, but how different our lives could be if we'd obey the Scripture. That's all I'm talking about. Obey the Scripture. Desire to prophesy. God wants to talk to your situation, your family, your job. God wants to speak. You may work in a place that you think is second only to hell. Well, God can give you some words for that place and change that place. He can. It doesn't have to be like that. Would you stand with me? Praise God. Glory to God, glory to God. Now, 7 minutes, 8 minutes till. And I'm praise God. But if you want prayer, if you'll come, and is it okay if I bless the food, and then whoever wants to go eat, and whoever wants to come to prayer, is that all right? Is that all right, Brother Merrill? Okay. Thank you. Praise God. I appreciate this man. All right. Thank you, sir. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Don't you feel safe coming here? These people watching out, make sure there's nothing going on, shouldn't be going on. That there's order here. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.